Chapter 3, verse 20. If you're fairly new here, we are going through the letter of Philippians. It's one of Paul's epistles in the Bible in the New Testament. And we're on the third chapter in the 20th verse, and we're going verse by verse. So if you come to this church, you will be at some point going all the way through Philippians, and we'll pick the next letter and go through it and so on, so you'll really get to know your Bible well. You know, as I looked at that verse today, I thought about the years that my dad and I boated. At the beginning of my, I think it was probably my junior high years, which is not the right thing to say because it's middle school now. But in my year from 7th to 9th was junior high. About 7th, in my 7th grade year, we moved to Puget Sound. It was right on the waterway in Seattle. And my dad and I decided, because we really kind of had a strained relationship, he worked two jobs, and I didn't see him that much, but he was off on Saturdays, and so we bought a boat very similar to this. I found this on the internet, and it's about as close as I can get to the one that we bought. It was a 32-footer. It was built in 1906, and it was before the Coast Guard, so just like this one, this was built before the Coast Guard. You can tell because there's no Coast Guard numbers on the bow. And so it was registered with the Treasury Department. My dad paid $800 for it back then. It was probably, I don't know what that would be in money now, maybe a couple thousand, but it was ridiculously cheap. And we found out why it was ridiculously cheap, because it had dry rot and all kinds of things going on. And so we bought this boat, and we took it out of Lake Union in Seattle and went up to Everett, Washington, which is the next largest city. And for 2 years, we worked on it. We ribbed it and planked it, and we called what was corking it, because between each of the planks, you have to take cotton with a sealant and kind of use a tapper and tap it in, and that all has to be just perfect or it'll leak. And we met some guys in the dry dock area that really knew what they were doing, and they all kind of came and helped us out because they realized we didn't know what we were doing in the least. And so we ribbed and planked it, painted it, and got it in really good shape, and took it out on several cruises to make sure that it was seaworthy. And one particular Saturday, my dad and I got up early, and we decided we're going to go boating and we're going to go salmon fishing. And so we headed for the south end of Whidbey Island, which is the second largest continental island in the United States. And fog rolled in. And when the fog rolled in, the sea, and we're talking, if you know your geography at all, is the Strait of Juan de Fuca comes into Washington, and the first place where it starts to hit island is Whidbey Island, so the waves can get pretty big. But that particular day, the fog came in, and I mean, it was really foggy, and the sea became like glass. It was just no ripples, no waves, no anything. And I even remember I got into a skiff and rowed out for a couple hundred feet, and Dad and I could talk to each other just like we were standing right next to each other, because it was so quiet. And we had to stop fishing, and we couldn't run our engine. We had to shut it off and just kind of float, because we were in a shipping lane, and we had to listen to make sure the ships would be blowing their foghorn, but they had all their sonar and radar, and they knew where they were going. We didn't. And so we just had to sit there and keep listening, and we could hear the bells, you know, of the buoys ringing and that kind of thing. And it was really a neat time. And at one point, and this is so weird, at one point a whale came up and bumped our boat. And it was a big gray whale, and it had come down through the straits, and it was playing with us. And they were known, those whales were known to play with boats, and so it just kind of bumped the boat. It knew exactly where to hit it and that kind of thing. So we reeled in our lines, because there's no point, because any salmon that was in Puget Sound was in that belly as well. You know what I'm saying? And so we picked up the lines, and pretty soon the fog began to lift, and we thought, well, we'll go back to the harbor. And immediately as the fog lifted, well, it blew away, and it was a storm coming in. We didn't even know there was a storm. And the skies got black, and the waves started swelling, and they got 4 to 6, 7, sometimes 8 feet high, and our sides were only 5 foot. And so we had to shut all the cabin doors, because the waves would come right across the deck. And so my dad began to start the engine, and it just wouldn't kick over. And so while he was doing that, I threw out a sea anchor, and a sea anchor is kind of like a small parachute, and the current opens it up and holds it, and then it kind of pulls with the current. So it kind of keeps you in the way of the, or so that you're breaking the waves rather than the waves. But even at that, our boat began to rock back and forth, deck to deck. Tore off the masts, dishes came out of the cupboards, and they were actually fairly secure. We thought it was crazy, and my dad was in, we had a little engine room, and so he was down in the engine room trying to get this motor started. We knew it was a gas filter because we'd had problems with that. And I got everything secure, and then I went into the cabin, and I had to hold him and brace myself so that he could work with both hands to get this filter going. And it was a nightmare. And I can even remember that we began to talk about abandoning ship because we thought, man, if we can't get this thing going, and we didn't know what we were going to do, we were probably going to have to just get in the skiff, the little dinghy, and just ride the waves. And can you show me that map of Everett, the next one? All right. This is where we were. If you go out to the left, that goes out to the Straits. And if you go right, that goes up to Everett, where we live. That was just the next big city north of Seattle. And if you went straight across to the right, that's where I lived. That's where my dad and I lived. We were just fishing right off where we lived. So we thought, well, we could get in the dinghy and just see if we could try to ride the waves in. But have you ever been in a life and death situation where you know you could possibly and most likely die? I don't know if you've ever been in that. It's just very, very scary. And so my dad got the filter fixed, and he got it on. And so we kept on trying to start it and get it going. And we were new. We were down to about our last lick on the battery before the batteries were going to go dead. We had a whole bank of them. But we had cranked that thing to get it going because of the storm. And so we got to the very last one. It was a little push button kind of starter on the boat. And he pushed it, and it kicked over. And so he put it into gear and put it up to full throttle, and we got going with the waves. And what was interesting is all the way up from where we were, all the way to Everett, we rode one wave. The waves got so big by that time, like 8 and 9 footers, that they were rolling up Whidbey Island. That's the island to the left, and the mainland, and so we got on it so that we were kind of going downhill. Now, we're talking a 32-footer, and it's like nothing in that kind of ocean. And so we rode that wave all along, all the way up to Everett. And, you know, what's interesting is it took us several hours to get up there. It got to the place that it was dusk by that time. It was getting dark. And we could hear the foghorns in the distance and the bells on the buoys that would lead us in. And we could start seeing the lights as we went through. And there was still a little bit of lingering fog up in Everett. And we slowly edged our way over until we got towards the docks, you know. And finally, we got into the docks and we roped up and just laid on the dock for a while, catching our breath. I mean, it was just like, oh, man, we were so exhausted. You know, and I thought about that whole story because in our present world, we as believers in Jesus Christ often sail stormy seas of life. Life is like that at home, at work, at church, in our own hearts. And there's a lot of times when we want to give up. And we begin to lose hope, and we're tempted to give up until we get our eyes upward on the harbor lights of home. Now, where is our real home? Heaven. We've been talking about that for a couple weeks. Our real home is heaven. We don't belong in this world. We're foreigners. In the illusion of calm seas of this world, and you discover as a seaman after you've been on that kind of water that fog is really just as bad as a storm because you have no idea where you are other than a compass. In those days, now every boat's equipped with sonar and radar, and they probably have a better idea, but in those days you had no idea, and you knew that if you moved, you could hit bottom. And so this world gives us the illusion of being okay. This world gives us the illusion if you get the right people in office and if you do the right things, We can answer our own problems and we're all going to be okay. And that's just like my dad and I in that boat, in the fog, not knowing where the heck we are. That's what the truth of the reality of this is. In the fog and storms of this life, the Apostle Paul states to the Philippian believers, suggests that you and I need those harbor lights. We need to know where our harbor is and put our eyes on that, because when we rolled into Everett, Washington, and we saw those harbor lights and we heard the dinging of the buoys that we follow into the breakwater, I'm telling you, it gave us courage. That's when we got courage, and that's when we had the strength to be able to finish, because we could see hope. We could see that final hope. And Paul says this, for our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. And we have to keep our eyes on the homeland. You know, it talks about our Savior Jesus Christ, and Savior means deliverer. He's our deliverer. And you know, when we have we keep our eyes off the goal, we end up with anxiety and confusion, and we're like in a fog or in a storm. And we forget the goal. And the goal is to know Jesus Christ and to imitate him. And Paul says our eyes have got to be on heaven. And we've got to keep our thoughts on him, or we enter the fog in the storm. So let me just read the verse all the way through here and just make a couple comments. Our citizenship is in heaven. Now, the word is here is not the normal word for is in the Bible, okay? It means exists. It means that it is a sense of belonging. So when he says, for our citizenship exists, it has a sense of belonging in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the deliverer. He's coming to deliver us. Do you get that? He isn't coming just to take us home. He's coming to deliver us from this fog in this storm. We also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Deliverer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, this is some of the most practical advice I think that Paul can give us. Simply put, we might say, this world is not our home. And people, you need to stop owning it as though it is. You know, last year in October, Deb and I went on a cruise to the West Caribbean. Gracious of you, thank you for allowing us to do that. You had given us a gift for building this building, both Clyde and Carolyn and Deb and I. And so we took this cruise, and we'd been in Miami for a few days and getting used to it and having a good time, and we got to the docks at Carnival Cruise Lines, and so we got our suitcases out, and when we put our suitcases out, we went to ask somebody, where's the line, how do we get in, because it was not really clear. We came back and our suitcases were gone. And we said, well, where did our suitcases go? And they said, oh, well, we already put them on the cart and they're probably in the ship by now. And we said, well, we don't have our passports. And so the porter looked at us and said, well, you're really in trouble. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, I'm in America. I don't need a passport to get into America. So we went up, and so they said, well, you got to have your passport. And I said, wait a minute. I'm an American. I can prove I'm American. I don't need a passport. And so we pulled out our wallets and showed them our driver's licenses. I said, I do not need a passport to get on this ship. I need a passport to get off this ship. And so they were like, they called the manager. Yeah, okay, that was fine. So they let us on. And, you know, we went to a bunch of different Caribbean islands and came back, and when we got to the dock in Miami after the cruise, you can believe that we white-knuckled our passports. We're not going to let those get away from us again, because you know what? I don't want any confusion in the minds of anybody that we weren't Americans. I do not want to be Mexican. I want to be American. And we visited all those places in Mexico and a few other places, and I did not want to be there. I wanted to be in America when we got done. And listen to me, believers. You who believe in Jesus Christ and that he was raised from the dead, you've made a decision to be a citizen of heaven. Now, when we returned to that dock, we got up to the in line to go through the customs counter, and I could see some of the people kind of getting mad at the customs officer and the officer getting mad at customs. I'm thinking, wow, I'm scared. And you know, a lot of times we think, man, do we have everything in order? Do I have my paperwork in order?